Hello and welcome to the Profitable Practice Podcast with me, Andrea Maxim, naturopathic doctor turned healthpreneur. And every week I'm bringing you no nonsense, no BS, actionable strategies to create a practice that is not only profitable, but fully sustainable by you. If you're an action taker like me and want to create a practice that is profitable, then you've come to the right place. Hello, hello again. This is Andrea Maxim with the Profitable Practice Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode on the show. Now, I have been doing a lot of reflection the past couple of months on just what the realistic ideals are of a lot of people in this industry and how so many of us are so impatient when it comes to building our business and, you know, paying off our debt and getting tons of patients into our office. And if it doesn't happen fast enough, then we often will start to blame outward issues, our associations aren't promoting us enough, or my clinic owner isn't putting out my information enough, or people aren't referring to me enough. And very rarely do I hear of people taking that inward and saying, well, what is it that I'm doing in order to benefit my practice? And I realize that I'm kind of jumping right into this, but I think it's very important for us to start this show off that way, because especially after having my last talk with Lori Kennedy on the podcast I did about two shows ago, that was something that really hit home with me is, you know, you may think that the ideal for your business is to have six figures, every single time, or maybe $500,000 a year revenue is what you think is what's successful. But what does it take to get to that level? And maybe for you not making six figures a year, but consistently having a better net gross as opposed to residual income is more important. Maybe for you, only working 2 to 3 days a week is important, and therefore you might not be able to scale your business just with regards to the numbers to that $250,000, $500,000 a year clinic, because you chose to have more of a life and a balance with your work. And what we're kind of talking about here is creating those realistic expectations and potentially reducing what your desire is, what your ultimate goal is for your business, based on what you're willing and not willing to give up in your life. And so I've been reflecting on that quite often with me, is I'll look at these people that are, you know, generating $250,000, $500,000, $1 million a year in their business, not necessarily in our industry as naturopaths, but, you know, looking at people like Lori Kennedy, she made $600,000 last year. And I think, you know, that sounds amazing, but what was the hustle that it took to get there? How long has she been hustling for? When did she put together the team of people that she also has to pay in order to create that income? And this is something that a lot of people don't talk about, is they love to brag about the big numbers, but they don't ever talk about their expenses. So a lot of the big people we see that are dominating in the online space and in their practice typically have a PR team behind them, or they have a number of different employees that are running certain things for them, and you have to pay those people out. So it does cut back on what your net profit is per year, or how much you actually take home per year. And this is something that I was really reflecting about a lot over the past little while, and my mom and I went to a conference just the other weekend in Toronto, and we were talking about, you know, how long have you been doing what you've been doing? She's a real estate agent, and last year she made over $500,000 in her commissions with selling houses. And, you know, to the outside person, that sounds amazing. But I said, you know what, Mom, how long have you actually been a realtor for? Like, what year are you in? And she's in her eighth year this year. So it took her 7 years to get to that level. I'm in my sixth year of business, and consistently I've been able to, the past 2 years, make $170,000. And my ultimate goal is about $250,000. If I make that consistently every year, I'm happy. I don't need to go crazy, nor do I want to invest in my business that much to exceed that. If it happens, that's wonderful, but I'm really comfortable at the $250,000 mark. And I was thinking about that from perhaps your perspective, if you're new in practice, and how that must sound like amazing and she must be working so hard. But what I really think it comes down to, and this is also something I've been reflecting on even in the online space, is that grit and that consistency and not looking for a strategy to get out of doing what you're doing and committing to this is my career path and this is what I've chosen to do and I don't see any other business for me or any plan B approaches that would give me the opportunity to not go for what I want. And the reason why I say even in the online space is because I'm seeing people that are starting to do a lot of really great things, but after a couple of months, it dwindles off. Or I'll see emails pop up from people that haven't emailed in so long, and then I see, oh yeah, I can see what they're trying to do. They're trying to kind of reignite and replan and restructure their business, and then a couple months later, it's dead space again. So the biggest thing that I really want to hammer home, and as we get into the interview, I elaborate on this again, is if you've chosen naturopathic medicine as your career choice, choose it with all the conviction in the world. Choose it with the idea that 10 years from now, you'll be where you want to be. It won't be next year. It's not going to be in 2 years. And this is coming from someone who's just starting out, or speaking to someone who's just starting out, that I'm just now in my sixth year starting to hit that break-even point where I can really start to see my net profits growing substantially this year. But up until this point, it was constant reinvesting into the business to make it where it is now. And now that I've been doing it for so long, it's a lot easier. The word of mouth referrals are happening without me trying. And people just aren't very honest about that, I find. You know, we love to talk about the big numbers, but we don't break down exactly what it takes to get there. I personally enjoy being a one-woman show. I like the fact that I have a lot more control over it, but I'm also learning the power of delegation. And I think that's where I can really see my business changing over the next 5-6 years, is learning what I need to learn, doing what I need to do, and delegating the rest to other people. So it was really important for me to bring on Dr. Trevor Cates, who is a naturopathic doctor in the States. And that was kind of the best part that came out of the interview is, you know, you go to her website and she looks like she's just killing it. And when I started probing to her, how long have you been in practice for? A lot of the, you know, pinnacle success that she's achieved have only been in the past 3 years, and she's in her 20th year of practice. And so, you know, that really struck me as confirmation that we can't be looking at people that are 5, 6, 7 years in advanced to where we are and then look back at our state and say, well, I'll never get there. It truly is about committing and just keeping your nose to the ground, always taking action and letting it happen, like letting the business evolve the way it needs to evolve, but understanding that you're going to be in this for 20, 30, 40 years. And your success might not actually happen, like what your idea of success might not actually happen until you're in your 40s or your 50s. And if you even look at some of the, you know, the millionaires and the billionaires, and you listen to their stories, often their big break didn't happen until they were in their mid-30s or 40s. Some of the big actors that we love on television didn't start acting until they were in their late adulthood. And so with us starting out where we are now, depending on your age, it will happen, but you have to let it happen and understand it might not happen in your first 5 years. You know, in your first 5 years, you're just kind of evolving and you're pioneering. But once you've been in practice for at least 5 years, you're now becoming that authority and that expert. So allow that to evolve. And that's why I think this interview with Trevor is so powerful. Before we get into the interview, I just want to let everyone know who sponsored the podcast today. This is sponsored by my 7-day detox program, a complete done-for-you automated system that helps you create create that in-office program that you may or may not have currently. And it is on my website in the resources section, or you can go directly to maximizebusiness.ca/7-day-detox-program. And that is the number 7. So let's jump into the interview with Trevor. I know you're going to love it, and definitely pay attention to the big things that I highlight, especially around timeline, because what happened for her happened at year 17, not at year 2. So let's get talking to Trevor. Hello, Trevor. How are you doing today?
Great. It's great to be here with you.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Absolutely.
And I really would love for you to kind of give people a background story on how you got into the business and how long you've been doing this for, and even what brought you into your particular brand, because you are the spa doctor. So how did that all materialize?
Yeah, well, it's kind of a long story, because, but I'll try not to, you know, bore you guys with all the little details. But so I'm, I'm a licensed naturopathic doctor. I graduated from National University. It's now a university, National University of Natural Medicine, in 2000, and I've been practicing since then. And one of the things that really changed things for me was about 5 years ago, I started working in certain world-renowned spas. So I live in Park City, Utah, and I was asked to join the Waldorf Astoria Spa here. And later I did some work at St. Regis. And so that's when people started calling me the spa doctor, because I was the doctor in the spa. And I just ran my practice out of the spa. I did some concierge programs, I had a total wellness program. It was a year-long program. And then I also did some other programs that were shorter, like a 2-week program that was a program I did a lot for locals for weight loss. And it actually ended up shifting into more of a skin focus, because one of the things that people kept telling me is they noticed that in addition to losing weight, they noticed that their skin was clearing up and that they had like a healthier glow and they appeared more youthful. And so that was one of the things that really came out of that. And to me, that made a lot of sense, because I actually had a lot of skin issues, allergies and skin issues as a child, which is what led me to becoming interested in naturopathic medicine, because as a child, I really struggled with my health, and my parents took me to see a lot of different conventional specialists and allergists and different doctors they gave me a number of different medications and recommendations that really didn't help me. In fact, I started developing allergic reactions, adverse reactions to the medications they were giving me, and I just kept feeling worse, and it was affecting my self-esteem. You know, as a 11-year-old going into being 12 and in adolescent years, it's a tough time to have skin issues and to feel sick. So, it was a tough time. And luckily, my parents didn't give up. They kept searching, and they found a holistic practitioner that they took me to. And that was the one thing that turned my health around. And it wasn't a naturopathic doctor, but I, at that point, at a really young age, I became very interested in that, because I saw my skin clear up. I saw my health overall improve. My self-esteem kind of gradually came back. And I really wanted to, I had a deep sort of passion for this. And eventually I found out when I was in undergrad at Tulane, I actually saw a program on TV about naturopathic medicine. And I thought, oh my gosh, that is exactly what I want to do. I want to be a licensed doctor focusing on this kind of approach. And so, I was just about to graduate, so to go back and do all my pre-med and all of that. But I was super excited to find that path. And so going back, fast forwarding again to the working in the spas, I really knew from firsthand experience of how making, lifestyle changes, addressing root causes can really help with skin issues. But I realized that so many people use, when it comes to skin, they use a suppressive approach. The conventional dermatology approach is to suppress it, topical steroids and those kinds of treatments, not addressing the root cause. And so I wanted to get that message out to more people. So it's what led me to led me to write a book, Clean Skin From Within, that's actually coming out March 15th. And I'm excited to be able to share this message because in there, I say, you know, I'm not your dermatologist. This is how I'm different than your dermatologist.
Right.
And it's interesting because I've gotten a little bit of pushback from some doctors because of this, but I think it's an important message. Sometimes we actually have to be a little controversial in order to move forward.
And to generate buzz. Like people that are playing it safe don't always get the attention that they want, right? Because they're just maintaining the status quo. But if you start taking a stand for something, I think people really start to be like, oh, like, who's this person? What's she saying?
Right. And I agree. I think that if you're saying the same thing as everybody else, that's great. You get sort of a certain amount of validity to that. But if you don't push the envelope a little bit, if you don't come up with your own sort of angle, then a lot of people are going to miss what you're saying. Now, it depends on, of course, what a practitioner's goal is. But for me, I wanted to get noticed. And so, you know, what I just share with you is the story that I tell on all the podcast interviews that I do. And, you know, what I talk about on my PBS special and all these different places when I go on TV. But I also want to share with this group, I want to share what I don't talk about with everybody else. Because, you know, I think it's good for practitioners to know what kind of goes on behind the scenes of all this, you know, and it took me a lot of time to create the story that I just share with you. And it's a very true story. This is you know, of course, it's absolutely 100% true. But to be able to share it in this way is took me a long time to figure this out. Mm-hmm. And so I want to go back a moment because what happens when I was working at the Waldorf Astoria, I started doing some PR stuff because I realized I needed more of a national presence being in a place where I have national patients and people from, or actually international, I had patients from around the world. So I wanted to create more buzz, not just in Park City, but I needed to get outside of Park City and reach more people. And it's a small little ski town, so there's a limited selection of people, especially when you're in a hotel. So I started reaching out to some PR people and I started talking about how I wanted to write a book. And they started telling me about how I needed to get online and do my own website. I needed an opt-in and I needed a newsletter and all these things. So I started creating these things. And I got connected with a group of practitioners and health experts that are more in the online space. And so people like JG Virgin and Sarah Gottfried and Kathy Smith. And I mean, Kathy Smith lives here in Park City. She's a dear friend of mine. I offered a program at Waldorf Astoria with Kathy Smith and Sarah Gottfried. And so I got to know some of these people. And then because of that, I got introduced to who is now my literary agent, and her name is Celeste Fine. And I can't say, you know, like enough good things about her. She's so amazing. And of course it's hard to get in to be a client of hers. So I realized how hard it was, but I talked to her when I met her through some of these people that had her as their literary agent, and I told her I really want to write this book, and she said, well, you know, send me some information, I'll take a look at it. And so I sent her information, and I'm trying to remember what I had the book proposal was at that point. It was like total wellness from the spa or something, you know, like something.
Right.
Kind of vague. And she said, you know, I think you're great, but normally my clients have a following, an email list of 100,000 people, and they have a niche, and they you know, she list off some of her clients. And she said, but you know what, I think if you wrote a book on skin and you just doubled your email list, then I'll take you as a client.
Interesting.
Like, really? Skin? And she said, yeah. And she talked to me about how there is a need in the space, and she felt like there was a need for it. And she said, I think you're the perfect person to write this book as the spa doctor. And so I was like, well, let me think about it, because I never really thought about myself as a dermatologist, or, you know, I'm not a dermatologist. She said, no, you're not, and that's okay. But think about it. And so I thought about it, and I started thinking about, you know, my connection to my childhood and about all the things my patients were saying about their skin. And I was thinking about how our skin gives us great clues about our overall health, and it's right on the surface of our body, and how if people have things like eczema or acne or premature aging, any of those things, it's a sign that something deeper is going on. And so the next day, I contacted her and I said, I've got it. Like, this is so awesome. I can't believe you gave me this idea, because this is exactly what I need to hone in. And she's like, great. Now we just need, you just need to build your list up. So then I put together an online summit, the Glowing Skin Summit. And I worked so hard, I busted my butt for the summit.
Sure.
I got some amazing speakers to join me on this, all the great people that I've been connected with. And I put together the summit. It was 2 years ago in the spring, and we had 40,000 people attend. So that bumped my list up
Yeah,
to
just a little.
1,000 people.
Yeah.
So then I had a list, and I had a target, a specific a niche. And so I went back to my literary agent. She said, okay, now it's time to get that book proposed together. Let's shop it around. And so that's kind of, it's really how I ended up focusing on this. And we have now, I don't know if I'm okay, but I think we've sold, the book hasn't, at this time of this recording, we actually haven't, the book hasn't been released yet, but I think we've sold pre-orders close to 10,000 books.
Amazing.
Yeah, and so we, and I've got a skincare line, a natural skincare line now. We launched that about a year ago, and it's so fantastic to see how it's, how I'm spreading the message to more people. My practice is quite international now, people all over the place, and I do a lot of mostly phone consults. Very rarely to actually go into a physical location, but I'm doing a lot of phone consults, and I have a product line now, so I have that additional income from that too.
And I'm just going to stop you right there because I want to just ask you to clarify, did all of this start to happen in the past 3 years, would you say?
Yeah, it
And
happened really fast.
right, but you've been in business for 17 years now.
Yes.
So the reason why I'm clarifying this is because as entrepreneurs, we want things like yesterday. And it's really important for people that are listening to understand the longevity and the amount of time and effort that you've put in for those 14 years leading up to this huge spike in your success for the past three. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think it's really important to share that. And everybody is going to be a little different. Some
Sure.
people might get right out of school and, hit the, hit the pavement running and just like take off. But I think that I think the really the thing is once you are clear with where you want to go and what your goals are, then that's when things can really take off. And I think for many years in my practice, when I first started, I was uncertain. I love naturopathic medicine, and it's been fantastic. And I was helping people. I just kind of had a family practice, and I was in Santa Barbara, and I was working with my husband at the time, and it was great. And I was raising three kids, and so I didn't want a book at that time, really. I mean, I had thoughts about it, and I knew it was a dream that I had to the future. But I think it's once I became really clear on, okay, this is what I really want, and I'm going to do everything I can to achieve these goals, and now is the excuse me, now is the time to do it, then that's when everything sort of started falling into place. And it wasn't until that point, I mean, I was certainly happy with private practice and things were going well, but that's when things really shifted for me.
And I'm just going to reiterate kind of what I said earlier is that it's okay, number one, for your business to not be where you want it to be, like in the first 5 years. Like that's really your time to understand how to build a practice, how to grow a business, how to you know, streamline what it is that you want to streamline. And it's also okay, as you said, you know, you have three children, so there's going to be time where you want to spend more investment and time with the family and just run the business as it is. And then when it is your time, you can, you know, scale it up as much as you want to. And I just want to again clarify that for all the new grads that are listening to the show and the students that are listening to the show, that you don't need to achieve tremendous, tremendous success as soon as you graduate, that it is okay to understand that it will be okay. And that, you know, if your future self came back to you 20 years in the future and said, you know what, I promise you, you'll be just fine 20 years from now, that that sometimes takes the pressure and the stress off, because that's what I'm feeling is happening in the industry right now. There's such a huge shift for everything to happen fast and immediate. And, you know, you have to buy in right now and you have to sign up right now and you have to have like a massive list if you want anything to happen, because everything is going into the online space. And I find I can feel the trepidation. I can feel the anxiety that it's starting to create in and amongst our colleagues, to be like, oh my God, I'm going to miss out if I don't do this, or if I don't do it fast enough, or this, like all these other people are going to pass me by. And I just think that what you have just shared in this first like 15 minutes is not only comforting for me, being that I've been in practice for not even 6 years yet, but I hope for other people that are listening to understand that you have an entire lifetime to achieve, you know, those massive goals for yourself, and it doesn't have to happen like tomorrow.
I completely agree.
So I really would love to talk about the list building side of things with you. And that was a major draw as to why I wanted to bring you onto the show. And it's this whole idea of building a tribe of people that follow you and love you. And I'd really love to hear kind of your insight on what it was to go from your, you know, your original list to then blowing it up, but having these people either grow or continue to follow you or to, you know, do all those things that a good, well-managed tribe would do. And just start off at the very beginning of why is it so important to develop a tribe?
Yeah. And I did not realize the importance of this until probably about 5 years ago. And that's when I started really working on this. And I think it's important more now than ever, too, because of the online space, the digital world that we're in, and that people are doing this anyway. They're online, they're trying to connect on social media, they're doing these things. And so if you're not there, then you're kind of missing out on an opportunity to give back to your community and create a community, because people really do want to be, they want to feel part of something. And your message, what you're trying to do with your patients, is going to help them more if they feel supported and part of a community. And so that's what building a tribe is about, is for people to feel like they're part of something and they've got somebody that's kind of holding their hand. And part of that too It took me a little while to figure this out, but I've learned this more and more, is it's important to be authentic, because most people will figure that out. They'll figure out if you're being phony, if you're not being yourself, if you're not opening up and being a little bit vulnerable, then they're going to figure that out. Now, if you want to keep your community small and you want it to be just like, okay, I'm a doctor and listen to me and you do everything I say, that, you know, you can find people that will do that, but you're not going to find as many people as you will if you open up and you're a little bit more vulnerable and say, okay, I hear you. I've been there. This is a little bit about me and who I am and where I came from and why I'm doing this. If you, and I know it's, and I don't know how they teach things in naturopathic medical school now, but when I went through school, it was very much a, you want to be professional. Like, I still think you of course you want to be professional, mm-hmm. but it was, you know, you don't share anything about your personal self to your patients. It's all about them. And it's like there's this wall between us, mm-hmm. and we don't cross that. And, you know, if you see your patients at the grocery store, you're not really supposed to talk to them very much. And, you know, if you do, you got to chart that. And
yeah. And you know what? It, around that. Yeah. And that still is, I can, Like, I remember being told, you know, if somebody were to ask you, well, what did you do? You say, well, what I did doesn't have any bearing here. It's all about you. And I've kind of completely given up on that. And I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'll tell them exactly what I am. I'll be as transparent as possible. And it really does help to sink and achieve a greater bond, because we're humans too. And we know that we build off of the pain and build off of the successes of other people. It makes us feel like we can connect, or we're not alone with our feelings or worries or concerns. And I think that's also a huge reason why naturopathic doctors achieve such phenomenal success with their patients, because they're opening up this relationship that they won't get from their specialist, from their family doctor, from their surgeon, because it's so quick and it's so surface, and people are looking for deep, committed relationships where they can be vulnerable and open up their scars. And I think what helps them open up their scars is understanding that you too have scars. You're not, you know, impervious to any imperfections in your life as well.
Yeah. And I think that as naturopathic physicians, we have an opportunity to do that more than other doctors, like you're saying, and patients are kind of expecting that more from us, to have more of a relationship. Now, mm-hmm. at the same time, you know, you still want to have boundaries. You got to have boundaries, and you've got to be professional, and you got to look at your legal issues. And yes, you probably still be charting things, if, you know, make sure you're still following all that stuff to protect yourself to a certain extent. But where I see the opportunities to open up about yourself is outside the treatment room. So when you're in the treatment room with people, it's about them. Mm-hmm. And you know, of course, being empathetic is great. But then you can share your story in newsletters, in social media posts, in video content. Those are the places where you say, "I know this is why I understand what you're going through, because this is my journey," or "this is why I decided to become a naturopathic doctor." And of course, still keeping it professional. You don't need to tell a ton to people for them to get the idea. You don't want to spend too much time, "Oh, woe is me. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's all about me." I've done a little bit of that, and that can backfire too. There's a fine line with it. There's a certain amount that they want to hear from you, and then there's a certain amount that's like, okay, now you're just telling me too much. Mm-hmm. Now you're going on.
Yeah.
So, because it's really about them. And so it's the connect with them, but then it's really about what's in it for them. How can you help them? But at first they want to be able to trust you and say, "Oh, well, this person understands what I'm going through. They get me." And then, okay, well, how are they going to help me? So then that's the next thing that you want to do. So that's sort of like, I feel like the approach. I do want to share some practical things, like some things that I did that helped get that message out.
Mm-hmm.
When I was working at the spa, one of the things that was great about being there is that they had a list. They had, you know, phone numbers and emails and all of that. I needed to connect with those people. Not everybody was coming in to see me. So what we did is we had a newsletter at the spa, and those went out to all the members, all the locals. And then we had another newsletter that went out to the hotel. So we were kind of telling people, giving people opportunity to connect with me. But, you know, in getting that information out is great. But then you want to be able to follow up with those people. You want to be able to build your own tribe. It's not just the clinic where you are, but your own tribe. Because if you leave, like I knew I would eventually leave. I knew I wasn't going to stay at Waldorf Astoria forever. And, you know, as much as it was great there. So you want to be able to have that tribe be part of your community. And so, and you know, especially if you're looking to have a book or something along those lines, if it's not your own list, then it's not going to be as beneficial. One of the first things that I did is I would I used free conference call, and I had a set time where I did a short call and Q&A. And it's completely free to do this, but people have to sign up for it to get the call-in information. So I'd get people's names and email addresses, and then I'd send them the information about how to call in. So then I was starting to capture people that were really interested in what I was doing, and I was providing a service to them. So that was the first thing that I did to kind of start building that tribe. And my own tribe. And of course, there are certain things that we did at the Waldorf Astoria. We had, guest lectures and book signings, the various things that we did. But for me, myself, like what started growing that. And then I started my own website, because I had been on Waldorf Astoria's website, but then I created my own and I created an opt-in. And I'm sure you talk about opt-ins and what they are. Back then, it was popular to do a newsletter. So it was, it needed, of course, this needed to be above the fold so people don't have to scroll down to see it. But it was sign up for my free newsletter, and that was great. Now, so many people have done that that nobody's signing up for newsletters anymore. I mean,
So
very
true.
rarely. It just people's email inboxes are flooded. And, and it's so. Now, today, you have to be ultra creative because everybody's got an opt-in page. Everybody's giving away something. Everybody's got a newsletter. Everybody's got an email list. So you have to be a little bit more creative now than you used to. And it's not just about emails anymore, because there's so many other ways that we can reach people. And because people's email inboxes are flooded, we have to also look to things like phone numbers and, the call services. What you can get people on those kinds of things, and then also doing Facebook ads and social media and retargeting. There's a lot more opportunity now and a need for if you really want to reach more people.
So I want to talk about how hard is it, because you just talked about a number of different things, and then of course in my mind I'm like, oh my God, that is a huge list of things that I have to do now. So how do you manage all of that? Like, there's so many ways that we can reach out and touch people and try to build our tribe, but it gets so overwhelming. And this is another big issue that I consistently hear from people that call me and they just say, well, what do I do about this? Or what do you think about that? And then they rhyme off literally five different things that they want to do. And I say, focus, focus, focus. Like, pick one, complete it, move on to the next. So, how do you kind of narrow down, or how do you create a system to keep going with that tribe? Because the other problem that I find is people are really gung-ho in the beginning and then completely give up. And they don't stay consistent and they don't stick it out long enough for it to really pay them back. So what do you do around all of that?
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you my opinion but I'm not a marketer. I'm just a doctor. But I'm going to tell you what I think, and that is, it's important to focus first. I can't emphasize that enough, because I see a lot of doctors coming into the space, and they are spending a ton of money, a ton of resources, pulling people in their clinics and having them do different things that is not within their wheelhouse. And I would say, just be careful with that, because it depends on what your goals are. For me, one of my big goals was to write a book, a best-selling book, and to have products that I could sell on my website. And so that was a big goal for me. If your main goal is to increase the traffic flow in your clinic, then you want to focus your efforts more locally. For me, I needed more reach outside of Park City. So it so depends on what your goals are, who your demographic is, who you're trying to reach, and what message you're trying to share. So, I mean, if we're talking about, I can talk more about having, more what I've done to do to reach my goals. And as far as growing a practice, I don't know as much about that if you're trying to do it locally. But I can say I feel like there are a lot of opportunities for us to no longer be stuck in this idea we have to be local, that there are a lot more opportunities to do phone consults. And but you know, we just have to be careful around some of the legal
Sure.
issues
Yep, yep.
and all of that. So you know, I would say as far as I think social media is great across whatever your goals are. I think getting on social media is important because that's where people are. And they're whether they're millennials or older generations. You know, I've got a PBS show and that demographic is 50 plus, and they're still on a lot of them are still on Facebook and they're still doing social media. And then, you know, the millennials, it depends on, you know, they're going to be looking, they're not on Facebook. My kids don't even know what my 15-year-old, she's like, what is this Facebook thing? How do you even use it? I don't even know what to do with
You're
it.
lying. You're lying to
No.
me.
No, she's like, well, she's all about Snapchat and Instagram and those kinds of ways. I mean, Twitter is not even, you know, even on her radar at all. But a lot of our patients, I mean, for most of us, that's not our demographic. They're going to
Right.
be people that are on Facebook and maybe even Twitter. And if you, I mean, I would say those are two of the biggest ones still. If you have a very visual kind of thing, like you have a product or you're offering something that's very visual, Pinterest is another good one, and Instagram, because people like the images that they see with it.
Yeah,
So if you have a
yeah.
lot of photographs or images that you want to be using, that's going to be a good social media platform for you, those two. If you're good with video, YouTube is fantastic. And I do a lot of video, and so my podcast is video podcast, so we put our video podcast on YouTube, and so that's great to have that in addition. But again, it's like, what are your resources? What are your goals? And I have multiple people helping me with these things. So I don't do it all myself. Now I have somebody, my podcast person, that does the video and edits and puts it up places for me. I have somebody managing my social media and helping me with getting posts up and scheduling those. I do create my own content. I just share that with them. There are certain things you can hire people to do, but if you like video, one of the things that we've realized with the video is that there's nobody else but me that's me. Like, I
Right.
can't, nobody else can video for me. So that's one thing that I have to do. And then one thing that we will do is transcribe the podcast or transcribes the videos. And then we can take those, that information, and break it into other things.
And so, how do you keep up with the legwork? How do you stay motivated to keep this going? Because, as I mentioned earlier in kind of my preamble, is people have the best of intentions and they're really good for maybe a couple of months and then completely stop doing what they're doing, so they don't even give it enough time to get traction.
It's a tough one. I would say be careful on how you're spending your money, because that's one of the things that burns people out. Is there are I mean, and I've made my mistakes. I definitely have put my money in the wrong places and lost money. And unfortunately, it does happen occasionally, but I encourage you to ask other people what's worked for them. And don't trust everything you hear, because you'll go to, especially if you go to like a marketing conference, or you're at a maybe a medical conference and there's a marketing person or somebody trying to sell a program, it can sound really good, and their job is to sell. Their job is to make things sound really good. And as smart as us doctors are, they know how to get us, because they tell us how easy it's going to be,
Yep.
how you don't have to spend the time on this. We're going to take care of everything for you. You just pay this monthly fee, or you pay us this retainer, and we're going to take care of everything for you. Most of the time, that doesn't work out.
Yep.
Most of the time, it's not totally honest. So just be careful with that, because that's how I see a lot of people get burned out. And that's where along the way I've almost given up, where, oh my God, I spent all this money on this company or this person or this program, and it is not getting the results that I'm looking for. So ask other people, think about it, think about really what the return on your investment is going to be. Think about it ahead of time. Okay, if you're going to spend this amount of money, how much is that really going to bring you back in your practice or product sales? What is the return that's going to be? And if it's just email addresses, that's not enough for me, because your list size doesn't necessarily make you more successful or not. It's the quality of the leads that you have.
Absolutely.
And you can grow your list really fast. There are ways to do it, but that doesn't mean those people are actually going to turn into patients or buyers or do anything other than take up your time. And, you know, it's great to give free information to people, and you're always going to have people that just want free information, and that's fine. We're here to help people, but you don't want to be spending excessive amounts of money. You don't want to be losing money because you're going that direction.
And while we're kind of on that topic, I would really like to discuss some of the behind the scenes struggles that come with managing all these people and keeping the energy levels up to do what it is that you're doing right now. Because, you know, I can go onto your website and everything looks amazing, and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm talking to Trevor. Like, look at everything that she's doing and that she's done. And it can be sort of like, oh my goodness, you know, we put you on a pedestal because you're showing us what we want to see, not saying that you don't deserve it by any means. But there's, you know, there's always going to be really shitty days, and there's always going to be times you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm doing this. And I'd like to just talk about that struggle, if you don't mind, of, you know, the side of growing a big business like you have that nobody really gets to see.
Yeah. It's funny. I sometimes do have to do a reality check every now and then and remind myself how much we've achieved, because I still will be hard on myself. Like, you know, I just mentioned, you know, 10,000 in book orders, pre-orders, and I was hoping to have 11,000. So
I was like,
oh my gosh, we can get that extra 1,000. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, it's 10,000. That's a lot of people that have already pre-ordered my book. That's amazing. So, you know, talking to my friend Dr. Kellyanne Petrucci recently about my list size, and I was like, it's only 80,000, and she's like, oh my God, you know, that's amazing. In the last couple of months, it's already increased significantly since then. But it's funny, because then other people be like, yeah, my list is 5,000. I'm like, wow, you know, I that's what I started off with. So yeah. It's important to just, you know, appreciate where we are. And I want everybody that's listening to appreciate where you are. You've come a long way. You're going through naturopathic medical school. Just getting into naturopathic medical school is a huge accomplishment. Yeah. And then getting through and starting practice and running it is fantastic. So, yes, definitely. I feel like I'm in a really good place right now with my team. I've got fantastic people on my team, and I wake up every morning and I'm so grateful for that. But it hasn't been easy. It's not easy to always easy to find. It seems to be easier now, because I kind of figured some things out along the way, but definitely have gotten burnt with some of the people that I've hired, and it hasn't worked out. But I think when you realize you've got somebody on your team that is holding you back and that is saying, no, I can't do that, or giving excuses or complaining, it's time to let that person go. Mm-hmm. And instead of trying to make it work, there are just some people that aren't going to fit in your team. They're just not going to mesh with your personality or your work ethic. I'm very much a get things done right now person, and so is my business partner. So we work really well together. We've had to see people come on our team and they're like, well, I'll get to that later. And
right.
It doesn't work for us, because it's, you know, that's not how we work. And so it's just, I think one of the things is, you know, definitely realizing that when you have somebody that you feel like is holding your team back, somebody that you've hired or somebody that's working with you, then it's probably time for them to go, or try and figure out another thing for them to do that maybe they'll shine better in.
And just to kind of start to close up the interview, because you've been in practice for, you know, 17 years, which I think is an amazing thing to do on its own. This is the longest I've ever held a job. So even for me to think that I will still be doing this in, you know, 10 years from now is crazy. And I would just love for you to kind of reflect back on, if you can even remember, sort of what it was like for you to get started. Like when you started your practice, you know, it was back in the time where social media and online stuff really wasn't all that big. And I would just love for you to just take a moment and be like, when I started out, I remember feeling this way and I remember having these struggles. And then we fast forward to where you are now and like you're killing it. So just for those people that are just getting started, there's students that'll listen in as well. Can you kind of just comment very briefly on how it was when you first got going compared to how it is now?
Yeah, it was a while ago. It was definitely a time that was exciting at the same time as ripping really scary. And, you know, I had a partner. I got married in naturopathic medical school. So at that time I was married to someone I was going into practice with. So that seemed like it was a great thing to have somebody to go into it with. But I remember we were both new, so we weren't really sure what we were doing. And I know, at the time, everything was print, radio, TV, and there wasn't social media. Facebook didn't exist. And so we did a lot of lectures locally. Worked on a lot of things with the local media and did whatever we could to get started. But I remember, one of the things I just remembered, I cut my hair short because people kept telling me, you don't look old enough to be a doctor. Right. And so that was one of the things I did. I cut my hair in a bob so that it would make me look more professional and maybe a little bit older. But I just, you know, one of the things, people aren't going to take me seriously. How am I going to do all this? But yeah, it was a very overwhelming, scary time. I also had, when I first came to school, I had one kid and then I had two shortly after. So it was a busy family time too.
And it sounds like, and I'm just making an observation here, that those fears and that excitement that you had in the beginning, it hasn't really gone away. Like every time you're implementing something in your business, those fears and worries and the excitement kind of keeps happening. Like it just keeps rolling over into something new. And I find that that is a common thread with a lot of the successful people that I interview is, you know, that fear and that excitement and that drive was always there and it never goes away. So you constantly take on new challenges and you constantly go down new roads and do new ventures. And it's just as scary as it is when you started your practice.
Right. Yeah. It is both exciting and scary. It's true. I mean, and I absolutely love what I'm doing right now. In fact, I never used to be a morning person, but I am now because I wake up in the morning so excited about what's coming, about what I'm working on right now. And it's fantastic to feel this way. I don't want to always be on the go and crazy busy like this, traveling all around the country. But right now it's very exciting and I love it. And I can't wait to see what else comes my way. And I think that as naturopathic physicians, we have a really exciting opportunity because we're different, but we're wanted, but we're also controversial. And it's a really great combination to have if you use it to your, and you like to kind of use it in a positive way. At times it's been frustrating where people are like, what's a naturopathic doctor? And why would you do that? Why wouldn't you just go to regular school? Why wouldn't you go to regular doctor school? Mm-hmm. What's a neuropathic, you know, physician? Are you really a doctor? I've gotten all kinds of crazy questions and comments. And I think though, for the most part though, the world is ready for us and it's such an exciting time for us. And then also at the same time, I want to say to naturopathic doctors specifically, it's, It's an opportunity we have now that could pass us by. That's just my feeling. And that because we have more functional, I love my functional medicine doctor friends. I have no problems with there being more functional medicine doctors, but they are coming, there are more and more of them coming to the forefront here and getting a lot of media attention. And so now is the time for us to take the stage too and to be there also. And I encourage if you have any desire to write books, to get on TV, to get on radio, to get out on social media and make a big splash, I encourage you to do that because we need more people doing this in the naturopathic profession.
And it really isn't all that scary to ask, like, what I would consider a big person, like a big popular person, for assistance. Like, those people are people too. And I find every time I've reached out to someone who I thought was completely unattainable, they're like, yeah, no problem.
Right. And the friends, the network of friends that I have in the health and wellness space, that's one of the biggest things that I notice is a lot of times one of the first things they say is, how can I help you? Like, what can I do for you? And I think it's important for us to realize that that's how you will improve your own practice visibility. Connections is when you offer to help other people wherever you are. If you help others, you say, how can I help you? And I think that positiveness will bring in more for you and give you open more doors, create more connections, to have that kind of mentality.
Yeah. Trevor, thank you so much for coming on the show and especially giving us that last little jolt of motivation that I'm sure we all needed to hear. If somebody wanted to get in contact with you, what are some of the best ways to do so?
Well, people can go to my website, thespadoctor.com. Doctor is abbreviated DR, so it's THESPADR.com. There's a contact us page. You can reach me through that. I'm not the I do have another website, drtrevorcase.com, but that's really just for my practice. I'm sending most traffic to thespadoctor.com. I would say, if people want an interesting, a different way to look at opt-ins, one of the things that we do is a skin quiz.
I
So
saw that.
yeah, people could check that out because I think quizzes are a great way. They're interactive and it gives you an opportunity to connect with people. So you could check out my skin quiz and see what we're doing there. And that might give you some ideas on things you can do yourself.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Bye. So I really hope you got a lot of valuable wisdom out of that particular interview with Dr. Trevor Cates. I thought she gave a lot of really great tips, great ideas. The opt-in was a phenomenal one, and we heard that quizzes are also very popular when it comes to Instagram advertising or trying to get people on Instagram to get off Instagram onto your list with our previous interview with Pratima when she was talking about using Instagram for growing her business. So if you haven't listened to that interview, you may want to. And basically, take a step back, just like I talked about with the interview with Lori Kennedy. Take a step back and really think about what is it that I want out of my business? What is it that I'm willing to sacrifice? For the most part, that's time, in order to put into my business. How am I structuring my business? Do I have a good flow? Do I have a good plan? So every Monday I do this, every Tuesday I do that, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Always take a day off from your business, at least one day per week. And it's amazing how sometimes just stepping out of the business and when you come back into it will give you some insight in what you need to do. If you need extra help with, looking at the bigger picture and getting re-energized and re-motivated, definitely contact me on the website maximizebusiness.ca and click on that Work With Me tab, and we can book in that 30-minute free strategy call. And literally, it's just you and me chatting. No selling, no nothing. It's just getting you kind of where you need to go. And I'd love to be that supporter for you, always in your corner. Always know that you can contact me on Facebook or I'm also on Instagram, kind of showing what I'm doing behind the scenes. and that is Andrea Maxim, ND. But I'm always available to you, so don't let the resources slip through your fingers. Use them, and especially when they're given to you for free, use them. Always take somebody up on a free offer that they're giving to you. Okay? So take action. Make realistic goals for your business. Take some of the pressure off, and I will see you on the next episode. You guys are killer. Thank you as always for listening to the Profitable Practice Podcast. Leave me a comment, and if you haven't already, I would love a review in iTunes. Definitely subscribe to this podcast and leave me a quick review. For those ready to maximize your practice, contact me at www.maximizedbusiness.ca.